What if I told you that the brand new state-of-the-art laptop you just bought is carrying around a highly specialized and honestly somewhat expensive piece of hardware that you might never, ever actually turn on?
Yeah, it is a harsh but frankly very accurate reality for a huge segment of the people currently upgrading their systems.
Right. Well, welcome to today's deep dive. It is April 2026, and we are looking at a personal computing landscape that has just undergone its most seismic architectural shift since the invention of multi-core processors.
Absolutely, it's massive.
And our source material today is this incredibly comprehensive technical analysis from AEOS's Techin Analysis, all about the reality of this AI PC movement.
And it is a movement. Like, it has fundamentally altered how silicon is manufactured from the ground up.
Exactly. But, is it actually doing anything for you, the person actually typing on the keyboard? So, okay, let's unpack this. Our mission for today's deep dive is simple. We are going to cut right through the, frankly, incredibly heavy marketing jargon flooding your screens right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of it.
So much. We're going to look at the cold, hard, real-world benchmark data provided in our source, and we're going to help you figure out if you actually need to go out and buy an AI PC or if, you're just being sold a sticker.
Right. And to really grasp the scale of the hype here, we have to look at the immediate context on the ground. Like, by this point in 2026, a staggering 120 million AI PCs have been sold globally.
Wow, 120 million.
Yeah, that is not a niche early adopter market anymore. That is a fundamental shift in consumer hardware. And according to the analysis, three distinct factors basically collided to cause this massive tipping point.
Okay, what are we looking at?
First, the NPU technology finally matured past being a mere laboratory experiment, right?
Okay.
Like, it can now run complex models entirely locally on the machine.
Right, without needing a massive server farm in the cloud to do the heavy lifting.
Precisely. Second, Microsoft essentially forced the entire industry's hand by introducing their Copilot plus minimum specifications. Yeah, they dictated exactly what hardware a computer must physically possess to even access their new OS-level AI features. And then third, Apple proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that ARM architecture could deliver on the dream of a high-performance laptop with, over 20 hours of battery life.
It's like a perfect storm, really.
Totally.
But before we can even begin to decide if this hardware is something you actually need in your life, we have to talk about what this new silicon is actually doing, because we're dealing with computers that now have three brains instead of the traditional two.
Right. We're moving way past just the CPU and the GPU. The anatomy of the machine now centers around the NPU, which is the neural processing unit.
Now, anyone who follows tech knows their way around central processors and graphics cards,
Right.
you know how they handle logic, physics, rendering, all that.
Yeah.
Think of the CPU as the general manager. It can do anything, but it isn't a master of one specific thing.
Right. And the GPU is the artist, great at visual parallel tasks.
Exactly. But what is an NPU fundamentally doing differently? Like, is it essentially just a calculator that's had way too much coffee? How is it handling these massive machine learning workloads without just melting the battery?
Well, what's fascinating here is how the architecture is fundamentally different at a mathematical level. It's not just doing the exact same logic sequences faster.
Okay.
It's built from the ground up to handle the specific weird type of data that artificial intelligence actually relies on. AI models operate using what are called tensors, which you can basically visualize as massive multidimensional data tables.
Like a spreadsheet on steroids.
Kind of, yeah. Imagine a highly complex Rubik's Cube made entirely of numerical values.
Okay, so instead of a traditional CPU trying to calculate that Rubik's Cube by like solving one tiny square at a time in a long sequence, the NPU is physically built to grab and twist the entire cube at once.
Exactly. That's the perfect way to look at it.
Yeah.
A CPU has to load an instruction, execute it, store it, and then move to the next one.
Very linear.
Very linear. But the NPU's architecture is designed specifically to execute thousands of multiplications and additions simultaneously.
Wow.
Yeah, that parallel processing is exactly the diet a neural network needs to survive locally on your machine. And honestly, the power efficiency of this specialized architecture is the real stunner here. The source data shows that the NPU draws only 2 to 8 watts of power while crunching these numbers.
Wait, only 2 to 8 watts? That's almost nothing.
It is remarkably low. I mean, to put that into perspective for you, for AI-specific workloads, the NPU is up to 10 times more energy efficient than your graphics card.
10 times.
Yeah. And it is a staggering 15 times more efficient than your main processor. Because it's physically hardwired only to do tensor math, it doesn't waste a single millivolt of electricity on anything else.
Which, of course, leads us directly into how all these tech companies are trying to weaponize this highly efficient Rubik's Cube solver to get you to open your wallet.
Oh, absolutely.
Because knowing how the MPU operates introduces a massive marketing trap that you absolutely need to avoid.
Yeah, the marketing departments have definitively found their new favorite buzzword.
Oh, they are obsessed. The entire industry has latched onto a new acronym, TOPS, which stands for trillions of operations per second.
Right.
It's basically a speed limit sign for your MPU. Back in 2020, Apple's M1 chip had 11 TOPS. Now, in 2026, we're seeing chips hitting 50 TOPS. That is a 450% growth rate.
It sounds incredibly impressive, you know, on a billboard or a spec sheet.
Wait, I've fallen for this exact trick before with processor clock speeds in the 90s and like gigahertz in the early 2000s. Is this just another vanity metric? Are they just selling us a bigger number?
You're completely right to be skeptical. The analysis actually calls this out explicitly as the megapixel trap.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. If you remember the early days of digital cameras, companies would boast about having like a 100 megapixel sensor. But consumers quickly realized that a 100 megapixel camera with a terrible cheap lens and awful color science
took much worse photos than a beautifully engineered 12 megapixel camera.
Precisely. Because the megapixel count was only measuring one isolated piece of the process. The same is absolutely true here. Higher TOPS does not automatically mean better performance for you.
Okay, so what does?
The underlying architecture, the memory bandwidth, and crucially, the software optimization surrounding the chip matter infinitely more than just that raw TOPS number.
And the analysis points out a perfect, almost ironic example of this in action. They note that an Apple M4 chip with 40 TOPS can actually outpace a competitor's chip that boasts 50 TOPS.
Yeah, which sounds backwards.
Right. And the reason isn't magic. It's just that Apple tightly controls both the physical hardware and the operating system. They've optimized the pathway between the software and the MPU to work together flawlessly. That feels like a massive wake-up call for how we read these spec sheets. You simply can't buy the biggest number anymore.
Exactly. You are buying into an ecosystem, not just a standalone process.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me. This revelation about software optimization versus raw hardware numbers explains perfectly why there is currently a massive turf war happening in the industry.
It's a bloodbath right now.
Right. Because Microsoft, which is primarily a software company, essentially bullied the entire hardware manufacturing industry. Dell, HP, Lenovo, everyone into adopting MPUs just to get that coveted Copilot Plus sticker on their boxes. They forced a hardware evolution from the software side, which just triggered a massive scramble among the chip makers.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, it reveals what this turf war is actually about. The real battle isn't just between brands like Dell and Apple.
Right.
It is a fundamental war of architecture taking place inside the machine. It is ARM versus x86.
Let's break down the why behind that war, because we constantly hear that ARM is better for battery and x86 is better for compatibility. But why is that the case fundamentally?
Well, it really comes down to how the chips are taught to read instructions. x86 architecture, which Intel and AMD use, is what we call a complex instruction set computer, or CISC.
Okay.
It's designed to understand a massive, historically bloated dictionary of complex commands. It requires more physical silicon, more power, and literally more heat just to decode the software instructions before it even begins to do the actual math.
But the flip side is that because it has that massive dictionary, it has 100% compatibility. Like, it natively understands almost every piece of software written in the last 30 years without needing a translator.
Exactly. No emulation required. ARM, on the other hand, which Apple and Qualcomm use, relies on a reduced instruction set. It has a much smaller, simpler dictionary.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it relies on executing many simple, highly efficient instructions very quickly to achieve complex tasks. That fundamental difference in how it translates and executes code is why ARM chips can just sip power and hit those legendary 20 to 22 hours of battery life.
So we have five massive contenders in this ecosystem war, heavily divided by this architectural split. On the ARM side, you have Apple with their M4 chip. They are the undisputed kings of energy efficiency. But if you are a PC gamer, it is a non-starter. Only about 15% of the games on the Steam platform run natively on Apple's system. They're essentially ignoring the gaming market.
Yeah, and then trying to replicate Apple's hardware success on the Windows side is Qualcomm with their Snapdragon X Elite chips.
Right.
They are pushing ARM architecture on Windows machines, boasting that same 20-hour battery life. but they're really struggling with software emulation, translating that complex x86 software to run on their simpler ARM dictionary.
Right. Translating software on the fly has to take a massive toll on performance.
It does. Qualcomm uses an emulation layer called Prism, but the data shows it only hits about 60 to 70% of the speed of native software.
Ouch.
Yeah. Compare that to Apple's Rosetta 2 emulation, which manages to hit 80 to 90% of native speed. The very noticeable lag for Qualcomm users trying to run older Windows apps.
Then you have Microsoft themselves setting the standard with Copilot plus Maze. And we should impartially note that their aggressive push into OS-level AI features hasn't been entirely smooth.
No, definitely not.
The source highlights their recall feature, which was designed to take searchable screenshots of the user's screen every few seconds to create a perfect memory of your workflow. But it had to be delayed significantly due to the massive privacy and security concerns it raised right upon announcement.
Yeah, it really highlights the friction of forcing AI into the daily workflow.
Hmm.
And finally, responding to all of this, you have Intel with their Core Ultra and AMD with their Ryzen AI 300. These are the x86 traditionalists.
The old guard protecting their territory.
Precisely. Intel's big selling point right now is that 100% compatibility.
Right.
Every piece of software, every esoteric enterprise tool, every game just works natively.
Right.
And AMD offers that same rock-solid compatibility, but they also boast a massive 50 TOPS MPU and a very powerful integrated graphics card, the Radeon 890M.
But because they are chained to that complex instruction set, both Intel and AMD sacrifice the one thing people really want. Battery life. You're looking at 14 to 18 hours of battery rather than the 20 to 22 hours you get from the ARM competitors.
Yeah, it is a market of deep compromises right now. You really have to pick your poison.
Okay, but let's take these machines out of the lab. Spec sheets and architectural dictionaries are one thing, but when we actually force them to do real work, what happens? We need a reality check here.
Well, the benchmarks and the source data provide incredibly clear contrasts. When you stress test these machines side by side, the differences are stark.
I want to look specifically at the photo test they ran. They took raw image files, converted them to JPEGs, and applied heavy AI filters like noise reduction and upscaling. The Apple M4 chip finished the entire batch in 8.2 minutes, and it only used 12% of its battery to do it.
And pay attention to the thermals on that test.
Right. It stayed completely cool, sitting at just 45 degrees Celsius. Now, compare that to the traditional non-MPU laptop running the exact same workload. It took exactly twice as long, 16.3 minutes. It drained a massive 35% of its battery, and it heated up to 72 degrees Celsius.
That right there is the MPU working as intended, offloading the tensor map so the rest of the system doesn't have to break a sweat.
And it wasn't just photos. They ran a local AI model test, running a 7 billion parameter language model entirely locally on the laptop. The M4 churned out 28 tokens, or words, per second.
Which is very fast for a local machine.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the traditional non-MPU laptop completely choked. It struggled to hit 8 tokens per second, and the fans were screaming the entire time. Think about what that practically means for your lap. Working at 45 degrees versus 72 degrees is the difference between working comfortably on a couch and having a literal space heater burning your legs while your battery just dies.
It is a phenomenal achievement for creative and AI workflows. But we have to provide a crucial reality check here, especially regarding that useless piece of hardware we mentioned at the very start of the show.
Right, the elephant in the room.
Yeah, for gaming, the NPU is currently dead weight.
Because modern games aren't running tensor calculations, right? They're rendering geometry and lighting, which is entirely the domain of the GPU.
Exactly. The analysis tested heavily demanding games like Cyberpunk 2077. Those games rely entirely on the graphics processor. The MPU just sits there doing absolutely nothing.
Wow.
And this reality check extends deeply into the programming world as well.
Wait, I would have thought developers would be the prime audience for AI PCs.
You'd think so, right? But compiling code, you know, turning human-written code into machine-executable software is a deeply sequential process. It relies on the single-core speed of the CPU. The MPU's parallel processing doesn't speed up compilation at all.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it only helps slightly if you are actively using AI coding assistants like GitHub Copilot to generate text.
And even then, it's just generating text, not running the program.
Right. And worse, for programmers, if you buy into the highly efficient ARM architecture like Qualcomm or Apple to get that battery life, you might actually break the very development tools you rely on.
Seriously?
Yeah, the source notes that tools like Docker, which many developers use to containerize applications daily, still have major workflow-breaking compatibility issues with ARM chips.
So given these incredibly dramatic, polarized test results, how do you, the person listening right now, actually navigate this market? Because it is crystal clear that the AIPC is not a universal, one-size-fits-all solution.
It requires a very honest, almost ruthless assessment of what you actually do on your computer on a daily basis. The source breaks it down perfectly into three categories.
Let's run through it. First, normal users. If you spend your time browsing the web, checking email, watching videos, and using basic office applications, skip the AIPC entirely. Buy a traditional $600 to $800 laptop. The NPU will do absolutely nothing to improve your daily workflow.
You would literally be paying a premium for silicon you never activate. It's just a waste of money.
Second, gamers. Avoid the AIPC marketing hype. Do not spend your money chasing high TOPS numbers. Spend your money on a machine with a dedicated GPU, like an RTX 4060, built on a traditional x86 architecture. That is where your frames per second live.
Yep, stick to the GPU. But then we get to the third group, creators and students.
The winners.
Oh, big time. For this group, the AIPC is an absolute game changer. The massive battery life, just knowing you can go to classes all day or edit 4K video in a coffee shop without ever reaching for a charger, combined with the AI rendering speed on something like an M4 or a Snapdragon Surface, will literally save you hours of time every single week. They are the absolute undeniable winners here.
So what does this all mean? If I'm a gamer or just someone who answers emails and I walk into a store and I'm being sold a brand new AIPC just because it has a shiny sticker boasting a 52 OPS NPU, I'm basically subsidizing a feature my software will simply ignore, right?
This raises an important question about consumer awareness in this specific era of tech. The industry is aggressively marketing the AIPC as the next mandatory step in computing for everyone.
Yeah, you can't escape the ads.
But the reality, clearly shown in the benchmark data, is that an AIPC is currently a new category of specialized device. It is a highly specific tool. It is not yet a universal replacement for the traditional laptop.
So, to recap this incredible journey we've been on, NPUs are a genuine, massive leap forward for power efficiency and for very specific creative and AI tasks. The ability to do heavy, complex tensor math locally without killing your battery or burning your lap is a real engineering marvel.
Truly.
But that reality is wrapped in a very thick, very aggressive layer of marketing hype that you have to navigate incredibly carefully based entirely on your personal use case.
And, you know, as we look beyond 2026, the source analysis makes a projection that I think leaves us with a profound final thought to mull over.
Oh, what's that?
They project that NPUs will hit 100 plus TOPS by 2027 or 2028 alongside fully standardized software APIs.
Okay.
So if our local laptops are about to get so incredibly powerful that they can run massive enterprise-grade AI models instantly for free, entirely on the device without killing the battery,
right?
What happens to the massive cloud-based AI subscription economy we've spent the last few years building?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Are we about to see the ultimate power shift away from the centralized cloud right back into your backpack?
That is a wild technological shift to think about. Your laptop becoming its own entirely self-sufficient, localized AI server. Well, before you go out and buy your own personal server, please make sure you check your own software compatibility. Don't get caught with an incredibly efficient machine that can't actually run your favorite tools. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive, and we will catch you on the next one.